feel like, you know, live to tape doesn't mean like we're gonna air everything.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. If I want to restart an answer or something.
Yeah. Kelda Royce, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Zach.
So let's give voters the elevator pitch. Introduce yourself and say why are you running for governor?
I'm running for governor because Wisconsin needs higher wages, lower costs, and more freedom. We face a huge threat from the Trump administration, and we need a governor who is willing to stand up to the bullies and billionaires and fight to protect Wisconsinites from their harms. At the same time, we also have an incredible opportunity to actually elect a governor who is able to govern and pass laws with a new, fairer legislature.
Is there a single issue that drives you, or perhaps a lane within the Democratic Party that may define you?
I think it's all about making it possible for working people to have the freedom to thrive in this state. For too long, people have seen their wages stagnate or even go down. Meanwhile, the costs of living are skyrocketing. Everything from housing to healthcare, childcare, and utilities is going up. We have to make Wisconsin a place where people can afford to live and have a good life.
How much money do you need to raise to be competitive and win this primary? And will that leave any room for the general election after that?
Yeah, I'm very confident that we're going to have a good pot of money that's been raised by the Democratic Party and national partners for whomever our nominee is. I think the primary, it depends on who all is running, but I'm confident I'm going to have the resources needed to run a strong campaign and prevail.
When it comes to a competitive primary, you're no stranger to those. What's the difference in your view between negative campaigning against a member of your own party versus defining differences between candidates?
Well, I think primaries are a really important opportunity for voters to vet the candidates and see what their experience is, see how they perform under pressure. There's going to be a huge spotlight on Wisconsin. This is an incredibly important high-stakes race in one of the most pivotal states in the country, and it is essential that we have a governor who not only is able to stand up to the Trump administration when needed, but also capable of actually making the change that we need in this narrow window of opportunity that we're going to have.
When primary voters are looking at these candidates, should they be thinking in terms of which issue they most closely relate to a candidate or simply electability?
Well, I think each voter is going to decide for him or herself what matters. And I ask everyone in Wisconsin for your vote on August 11th and November 3rd. But I really want to make the argument that whatever the issue that you care about is, the most important thing is having a governor who can win and who can actually get things done. I have spent over 20 years working in and around state government in a variety of capacities as a legislator in the Senate and the Assembly, as the only candidate running that served on the Joint Finance Committee, small business owner, mom, attorney, and I have been able to get meaningful legislation passed on a whole variety of issues through every kind of legislature, Democratic, Republican, split. Those skills are going to be essential for our next governor if we want to actually make change in this state.
All of the Democrats running for office have connections either to Madison or Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. What is your job in terms of introducing yourself to the rest of the state, especially rural Wisconsin, that may not recognize your name?
Well, fortunately, I've spent my career traveling around the state and building relationships and trying to build Democratic power. And I'm actually from Taylor County. I was born in Marshfield, grew up in a one-room schoolhouse in rural Taylor County north of Highway 29. I'm the only candidate that had a pet goat as a child. And so it's been really fun for me to travel around the state, areas where I have deep family roots or other connections that I built throughout my career, reconnect with people and meet new people. And the reception has been really strong.
What do you think the impact of Donald Trump will be on this election?
I think that people in Wisconsin are feeling angry and hopeless about the economic situation. The chaos and the corruption that we are seeing by this administration is unprecedented. And we're also seeing him shredding our Constitution and the rule of law. As an attorney and as a patriotic American, I think that what Trump is doing is totally unacceptable, and we need to have strong governors who are willing to stand up and hold him accountable, as well as, you know, his, you know, private paramilitary force that he's building with ICE. We can have secure borders without violating people's rights and destroying the things that make this country good.
The Democratic nominees are an incredibly diverse panel of Democrats, but there's still some names being referenced out there. And why does it feel like there are Democrats that still feel the need for a white guy to run?
Well, you know, that's not something that I've been hearing from people around the state. Voters want somebody who has courage and is willing to use power when needed and who has competence and can actually govern. And I think when you look at what happened in Virginia and New Jersey, You have these middle-aged moms who just know how to get stuff done. They were both experienced in government. I have a similar profile. And when I talk to voters around the state, they love the experience that I bring. They love that I've worked hand in hand with Republicans to expand access to health care, at the same time that I've defended public education and worked to actually fund our schools and early childhood at a time when Republicans have been slashing funding and privatizing public schools. Those things are attractive to voters, and I think it's that's the kind of issue focus that we need.
As governor, you could have a Democratic majority in the legislature. Mm-hmm. What would your AB1 want to be? What's your Act 1 you want to sign?
Well, I want to sign a budget that raises wages for people, restores people's rights, lowers costs on the biggest ticket items like health care, and funds our public school system. Our kids have been getting shortchanged for a generation, and it's not fair, and it's actually terrible for our economy. Big signature policy items that I'm interested in passing is opening up the state health insurance and the state pension systems to any person to be able to buy in. So if you're a small business owner, or if you're taking time out of the workforce to be a caregiver, or if you run a big company and you're tired of those double-digit increases, you can buy in to these low-cost, very well-managed, high-quality plans and know that you or your employees are taken care of.
On the flip side, as governor, you could have Republicans still mm-hmm. control part of the legislature. What's your history of working across the aisle to get things done?
Well, I have a long history, again, over 20 years of working with some of the most conservative Republicans to get things done, whether it's criminal justice reform, whether it's helping to pass the first pro-choice legislation in a generation, working with in a Republican anti-choice assembly and getting that passed into law. Or just earlier this year, where I helped expand access to rural health care options by allowing nurse practitioners to practice. And for a long time, I was the only Democrat on that bill, and Governor Evers vetoed that bill several times. We finally got it done. So I have a long history of being able to work well with folks from across the political spectrum.
The Public Service Commission is looking at a lot of rate hikes across the state. Mm-hmm. We've got data centers that are popping up all over. What will you do to make sure that regular ratepayers aren't going to be covering the costs of all these expansions?
This is a huge issue, and we need a statewide strategy to deal with data centers because they're coming into local communities and kind of steamrolling them. And I think that people deserve to have a voice in what happens in their communities. And we also need to really know what the impact is going to be on our environment, on water and land usage, as well as the impact on ratepayers for these data centers. I've sponsored legislation, along with my colleague, Senator Jody Habesh-Sinikin, to ensure transparency as these data centers are coming in and trying to negotiate. We want to know exactly what the impact is going to be, and we have to make sure that not only are ratepayers not going to be bearing the cost, because that is happening all around the country, but that we're actually going to see massive public investment. These are huge, very profitable companies that are run by billionaires and the most powerful people in our country. They need to help pay to upgrade our infrastructure. They need to pay more than their just the cost of the energy that they're going to be using. They need to actually give communities something of value.
When it comes to public education, is it simply a matter of more money, or do you think there needs to be reform into how schools are funded?
Well, you can't do it without money. And we've been asking schools and teachers to do more and more with less and less and less. Our kids haven't even gotten an inflationary increase for 15 years. That, to me, is unacceptable. So money is essential, but it's not only money, right? Teachers also need professional development time and training and the respect that they deserve as professionals. The single most important factor in a kid's success is the quality of the teacher at the front of the classroom. So investing in teacher retention so that we have the most experienced, the most capable, skilled teachers able to stay in the classroom and stay in the education field and mentor newer teachers, I think is absolutely essential. To do that, I think high standards for teachers and kids along with giving them the resources that they need are necessary. We also need to start with early childhood education too. There's no reason that we should wait until a kid turns 5 to start nurturing them and help setting them on a path for success.
What would you like to see happen with the voucher system? Expand, contract, reform?
I would like to see the voucher system brought to a responsible close. We simply cannot and should not try to fund two different separate school systems. They're taxpayer money needs to be accountable to taxpayers, and public dollars should fund the public school system.
When it comes to tax reform, is there a number one policy that you think needs to happen?
Well, I want to make sure that the wealthiest and the big corporations that have been getting not just a free ride, but have been getting hundreds of millions of dollars in public subsidies, actually pay their fair share. Because what's happened over the last few generations, Zach, is that you and I and working people around the state have been forced to pay more and more and more for the cost of the public services that we all need and share. And big businesses have gotten away with paying very little. It's time for that to change because we all have a stake in making sure public services are strong.
Over the course of the last year, the Supreme Court has rolled back a lot of legislative oversight over the rulemaking process, both with the Attorney General, with the fiscal, and also with the governor's office. Do you think there needs to be some sort of compromise to bring legislation back to retain some oversight from the legislative process?
The legislature always has the first say and the last say on any piece of legislation. And I don't think that the legislature should be abusing the oversight process, which is what has happened under Republican rule. I think that once a legislature passes the law and they direct the experts at the agency to implement that rule, the agency should be allowed to do that. And if the legislature doesn't like it, guess what? We can always go in and change it and pass a new law. But we shouldn't hold laws in limbo and not allow them to be enforced just because Republicans didn't like what the governor did. And a perfect example of this is PFAS. So the legislature passed laws directing the DNR to set standards for PFAS. And the DNR did as they were directed. And then the legislature, at the behest of special interests like WMC, came in and said, well, actually, we don't want you to put those standards in place. We don't like them. And so we have a law in the books that is now not enforceable because there aren't rules in place. What that means is that people are drinking poison water, like a gentleman that I met up in Marinette who was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's because his well was contaminated.
When it comes to local government funding, there's also been another shortchange over the years. What would you like to see there?
I think that the state needs to meet its commitment to local governments and to our public schools. You know, the promise was the state would cover two-thirds of the cost, and we have really very, very infrequently ever lived up to that. Meanwhile, local property taxpayers are asked to raise their own already too high property taxes just to keep the lights on for our schools and keep the snowplows on the road and police and firefighters on the street. That's not fair. The state is sitting on a multi-billion dollar surplus and has for years, and it's time that we reinvested that money where taxpayers expect and deserve it to be spent, in our local communities.
Across the Northwoods, there are a number of exploratory drilling projects that are looking at becoming potential mines. What would you like to see in terms of state oversight of mines, and would you want to change the current law?
No, I think the current law has worked well for us. I want to see mining companies prove first, before they open up a hillside and pollute our water, that they're going to be able to extract things in a safe way that is consistent with our natural resources management and our environmental goals.
Do you have concerns about your own safety in this modern political environment with threats regularly being made?
I do, and it's something that I take seriously. My staff and my family take it seriously, and I think it's very unfortunate that we have political leaders at the very top of our system whose use of violent rhetoric and violent actions are making us all less safe. And as Americans, you know, every one of us lives with the specter of gun violence. Every time your kid walks out the door to school, every time you go to church or a concert, you have to think, is this going to become a mass shooting event? We have to do so much more to help all Americans be safe and free from violence, and there's a lot that states can do to make that true.
A lot of people talked about affordable housing. What needs to happen there? Is it about regulation? Is it about density? Is it all of the above?
It's all of the above. I'm really passionate about this. 13 years ago, I started a small business with the goal to make it more easy and affordable for Wisconsinites to buy and sell homes. My business has helped save Wisconsin homeowners nearly $2 million in real estate fees. But this is an issue that I'm really passionate about. The state should both be doing more to incent development projects, helping local governments make zoning changes to allow for more housing to be built, and to allow more flexibility in how we use our dollars so that we can actually get more bang for our buck in terms of building new housing. But ultimately, this is really a supply and demand problem. We have too much need for housing and not enough houses being built, and it's been that way since the Bush recession. we've underbuilt housing, and now we're really reaping the consequences. So we just have to get more housing online quickly.
When it comes to corrections, would you follow through on Governor Evers' plan on how to overhaul the correction system?
Yes, I think we need to right-size the correction system, and we have to get serious about safety. In this state, we have pursued policies that are not only not evidence-based, but that really undermine public safety. It is how we incarcerate people, it is how long, and it is the lack of services and training to help people succeed when they actually reenter society. We spend an ocean of money on this, and we are not getting the safety return that we deserve.
When it comes to the topic of abortion, are there any bills that you would like to see brought forward to change Wisconsin's laws?
Yes, and I've authored many of them. I believe that abortion, and frankly, all healthcare decisions, are personal and individual. Politicians have no role in making those decisions for you, and certainly we cannot allow abortion, contraception, IVF to be criminalized or put doctors under threat when they're simply providing care. I want to see your freedom to make your own decisions guaranteed in this state.
All right. Kelda Royce, thanks for your time.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
All right. That was a lot of territory, but thank you.
Yeah, great questions. You didn't even need your notes.